Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome to episode number 50. I'm 50.
God, I like to shimmy, kick, stretch, and kick.
Yes, this is a bit of a milestone episode, the big 5-0.
50 years old.
Thank you, Sally O'Malley. We're celebrating 50. It's not years, but episodes, which is still pretty great. So thank you for making that happen, being a part of Good Things Radio. I'm so glad you're on the show today. My name is Brooke Taylor, and coming up on the show today, number 50 has to be a big program. So it happens to be the biggest week of the year right here. So that worked out providentially. And we're going to walk through Holy Week together, anticipate the glorious day of Resurrection, Easter Sunday, where Christ, our Galilean liberator, set us free. So we are going to cover that. Also on the show today, we're going to follow up on that running and worship episode we had two shows back with some wonderful feedback. And as we anticipate the empty tomb of Easter, how can we keep that feeling of holy joy in our hearts beyond that Sunday? Because you know how it is when you wake up at Easter Sunday or Christmas morning, whether you're a kid or you're in your senior years, there's a feeling that we just get that says today is special. So how can we keep that going? And Father Nathan Cromley has some great techniques about praising, about praying, and offering up daily acts of adoration through prayer that helps bring that holy joy into our day, wherever we are, whatever time of year it is. So he's going to explain that, and he's in our Padre in Our Pocket segment coming up on the show as well. So as we kick off, would you join me in prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, our advocate, in the darkness of Gethsemane, you wept for us, shedding tears of blood. You shared our pain, Jesus, our Redeemer, on the way to the cross. You suffered for us, tortured, spat upon, and despised. You carried our burdens, Jesus, our Savior, on the hill of Calvary. You died for us. Crucified and hung upon a tree, you released us into freedom. Son of the living God, Redeemer, Savior, Advocate, through the journey of suffering in the place of darkness, you overcame death forever and gave us new life. Amen.
Won't you take this cup from me? 'Cause fear has stolen all my sleep. If tomorrow means my death, pray you'll save their souls with it. Let the songs I sing bring joy to you. Let the words I say confess my love. Let the notes I choose be a favorite tune. Father, let my heart be after you.
That group is called Need to Breathe, and it's a song about Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's called Garden.
Brooke, this is Chaya from California. I just wanted to thank you so much for your latest episode on spiritual running. It really spoke to me. I ran in high school and in college, and my husband and I have always run together. And when we had kids, we started running at the Arboretum because there was no cars and we could push the strollers, and we would talk about our week. And then on Sunday mornings, we would say the rosary together when we ran, and it was so good. And then last May, I got an ankle injury, and I had to stop running till just now, till recently, so almost a year. And oh my goodness, I knew it always kept me in shape, and I knew it was something that I really loved to do, but I didn't realize how impactful it was for me spiritually. And boy, you really hit the nail on the head with this one. It was really good. And my running playlist really sucks because, well, I mean, it's great songs. It's Rich Mullins and Cademan's Call, but there's a lot of slow songs. And I was hoping for something better to run with. And holy cow, you answered my prayer. And I downloaded every single song. And I'm so excited to go running tonight with my new running playlist. And it's so great. And so I just wanted to thank you so, so much and let you know that you made a big difference in my life. And so thank you. And and I'm praying for all of you guys at Arise Retreat. I am so excited for you. I am so, so happy to see how the Holy Spirit works in all of you. And I wish I was there, but perhaps another year I can go. And just know that you are getting prayers sent to you from the West Coast. And just keep up the good work. God bless. Bye-bye.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much, Chaya. So much there. Thank you, first of all, for your wonderful words about the retreat. And I loved everything you said. Appreciate your support about, and I know you were praying as we prepared and then through the weekend. So I know I speak for all the attendees when I say thank you for that. God bless you. And I'm so glad you liked the running songs. That's really exciting. And you know, when you said that, it reminded me, there's one that I actually forgot. It's my power song. And as I was listening back myself to the podcast, I thought, how did I forget this one? But it's so great because of not only its driving beat, which is what you need, that's key, right? But also, it's just mentally and physically a boost, but really it is spiritually. And what I love about it, it's kind of a sidebar here, it's called Oh My God. And I say that as a prayer when I proclaim those words. And it's from the David Crowder Band. And the reason why I love it so much is because that, to me, is a point of contention for myself, because so often the Lord's name is taken in vain. We hear it in this OMG generation, and most times they don't mean oh my gosh or oh my goodness. And for Christians especially, that should be no small matter. Scripture tells us the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Demons flee at his name. And we just kind of casually throw it out there and blaspheme it, really. In the Jewish culture, they don't even write the name of God because they don't want to risk that it might be later defaced or destroyed even accidentally. So what I love about this song is it protects and elevates the name of God to its due beauty. And it just is a phrase of proclamation that leads us from death to life when you hear the song. And so that's why I love it. And you just feel it in your heartbeat and with your spirit. This is, again, it's in adrenaline mixed into. Here's David Crowder. It's Oh My God.
I can feel this heart beating inside. I don't know when I felt more
So there, that's that one. One extra one. Also, CJ took the time to write in. Here's what she said. She said, I just walked in the door from my commute home and I could not wait to write in. I listened to the podcast about running. Some of my favorite songs on the workout playlist are my Christian songs, but even if they aren't, they relate still to my faith. Some that motivate me are Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. She's a new artist. Beautiful young lady. Love that song. The Fighter by Gym Class Heroes. Fight Song by Rachel Patton. Awake and Alive by Skillet. She said it's pretty intense, but it reminds me that I need to be physically strong to push through the battle of our spiritual lives. I love that, CJ. It's Not Over Yet by King and Country. And she said, then songs I love that remind me of my kids and husband. She said, my workout becomes a prayer then. And I know the feeling of having the flexibility as a stay-home mom to feel guilty about daytime workouts, but it is our job to stay healthy, strong, and balanced for our family. Just like we should set aside our savings first before we spend our money, we should also use our energy wisely before we go spend it. I schedule my workouts first thing after I drop off the kids from school or volunteer in the morning. It's my appointment and job. Okay, I like that. So you're holding yourself accountable. That's good. She said, I like interval training on the treadmill. I have the Nike Fit personal trainer app. You can have your music play through that. Okay. She said, I also make a lunch wager with my friend for our fitness goals. She has a new baby, toddlers at home. She doesn't care to exercise. So her goal is 3 days a week. Mine is five. We track them, and whoever does a better job on their goals for the month gets free lunch at Panera. We meet there in the middle of every month for lunch, and that's a good little extra incentive. Okay, I mean, that's always so fantastic if you're blessed enough to have a buddy, a workout friend that keeps you accountable. What a great idea. That's a gift. And finally, Barb says also, I do work out. I just started back again. I like to walk. I don't listen to music. I used to, and I loved it, but I think it's safer just to not listen to headphones. I now listen to nature. I walk at 6:30 every morning, and the birds are so active. Lately, I've been watching the great blue herons, oh boy, build their nests. That sounds wonderful, Barb. My faith component is appreciating all of the beauty God's created that is around us, but we might not always take the time to notice. That's really important, too. And I think that's what I love about, at least in this area where you can't run. Well, I don't run year round because it's cold and I'm a wimp. But when it is nice, it's like your senses are just more in tune with what's happening around you, from the breeze that you feel to the color of the sky. So all great points. And then real quick, I just wanted to thank Tracy for writing in so many great emails. And I know I'm not getting to them all and doing them justice, about running and worship and how our bodies, as we keep them strong, can glorify God through prayer, and that can be sanctified as we exercise, whatever that looks like. So Tracy said this, I was listening to this episode while on the treadmill for the second day in a row. I recently had a baby, so my 1 mile walk on the treadmill right now feels like a big mountain I am climbing. Good for you, by the way, Tracy, for so quickly having a baby and saying, I'm going to do this and stick with it, because you're tired, I'm sure. She said, I'd like to offer up my small workouts for women in Haiti who carry babies on their back, food on their heads, while walking up markets to make money for their families. This is a cause that's near and dear to me. Like you mentioned, finding the time to work out is always the last thing on my to-do list, and so often it gets skipped. My husband's the exact opposite. It's on the top five of his to-do list every single day. This used to make me very angry because he could easily skip the dishes, vacuuming, laundry, and go straight for the weights. In my reflections on this, I found that he is a happier, energetic, and more engaged spouse when he exercises. Now, instead of resenting his workouts, I encourage him to complete them. In return, he encourages me to let go of the house and just get my exercise in. I'm grateful spring is around the corner so I can trade in my treadmill for the outdoors. Yes, amen. I so agree with that. And again, here is a partner, a partnership as well. So that's just fantastic. Thank you for sharing that, Tracy. I agree. And, you know, and with the guys too. And that's another impact, because we know how often guys are stretched and stressed. And it is important, I think, to encourage our men to work out. And that's part of the healing process and good mental health. We all know that. It's just hard to get in the habit of it. So thank you for the motivation and the incentive, ladies. All good stuff. Thank you. And speaking of offering up our exercise as a way to pray, we know that's what St. Paul tells us. It's 1 Thessalonians. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And it really can be integrated into all we do, like breathing. But again, it's a habit. It's wearing a holy habit in just an instant reaction. But even monks have to be schooled in the art of prayer. And thankfully, we actually have one here that's going to help us with that. And it's Father Nathan today to help us. I think this is also especially good as we approach Holy Week. And we want to be able to fully enter in to what Christ did for us, what the Redeemer did that set us free. And I was at a conference this past weekend with my friend Linda Isaiah, which, by the way, was so wonderful. And I thank my friend for inviting me to speak and be a participant as well. But one of the pastors stood up and he said, you know, 95% of Christians, I don't know if it's across the board or just in their faith denomination, but he said, say 95% of Christians say they have not had a real encounter that they have felt God. And I could not believe the number is so high, but I suppose maybe I can. I guess it depends on what you say a real encounter is. We, in the last episode, had an email from Mary, who was at the retreat, and she talked about feeling Christ in her hair, in her skin, in her breath. And that, of course, is what we seek. And we know that it's fleeting, but that consolation stays with us and we can go back to that. But I just thought, wow, that's a very high number. And so I think one of the things I often speak of when I do talks is that it's a muscle. We have to work at it. The harder you work at something, the more effort you put in, the better it is. We have to work at our marriages. We have to work at raising our children. We have to work at childbirth. And we definitely have to work at our faith. And we have to work at our bodies if we want them to be the best they can be. And I think with work, that ignites inspiration. When we started to go to Mass every week as a family, then I began to get inspired about what was in front of me. It wasn't so monotonous and why am I doing this? I wanted to learn more. And the more I learned, the more I became inspired. So I think that's an important component as well, is we pray. And the more we pray, the more we feel God. And that's what Father Nathan's going to talk to us about today in our Padre in Your Pocket segment.
Padre in Your Pocket.
So today's topic is prayer, and as part of the community of St. John, you are a contemplative brother, and prayer is very important, so we know that. That is a component of your daily schedule, part of the cadence of your life, no matter where you are or how busy you are. So how can we enter into a deeper prayer life where we are?
I love that question, because it's a question that so many of us have. Prayer is simple, ladies. You always have to remember that. Prayer needs, the more authentic it is, the simpler it becomes. And the gauge of true prayer is not found in the beauty of the words or the multiplicity of the words. It's found in the communion of our hearts with Christ. And sometimes beautiful words are necessary for that. Sometimes we celebrate our faith in ritual and in rite. And these are beautiful forms of prayer, liturgical prayer, for example. But also, there's simple prayer that you can do throughout the day. Here's a key. When you recognize that God is God and He is your God, you can offer Him an act of homage from your heart that we call adoration. And adoration takes 30 seconds. It's a matter of getting into a habit when you're doing something every day. So let's suppose you make a smoothie in the morning. Well, you should make your soul smoothie as well. So here's what you do. You hit blend on the blender. And while it's going on that countdown, instead of wandering around the kitchen, putting the milk away and putting the frozen fruit away, you bow your heads and you adore God for the length of that smoothie. Normally, your children are not going that crazy because the blender is going. You can do the same thing every time that you do the laundry or every time that you hang up the phone. You just have a little word, adore, on your screensaver on your phone. But what happens from the heart is that authentically you look at your God from your heart and you render Him homage. You are my God. Holy is your name. I love you. That prayer from the heart, simple and profound, moves mountains. And it becomes the source and the base of other forms of prayer, like your rosary, like your time in adoration, like your liturgical prayer at Mass. But for heaven's sakes, women, pray wherever you are. My gosh, if you wait to go to church till you pray, you're going to wait till you go to church till you pray. And that sometimes is a long time. Or you say, well, I'll kneel down by the side of my bed. That's a beautiful ritual, but sometimes that's just too much. We need to get into the habit, when you turn off your alarm clock, of getting on the edge of your bed and saying a prayer. If you attach it to the things that you do on a regular basis throughout the day, from brushing your teeth. You know, I'm thinking of my great aunt who had prayers taped to her mirror in her bathroom. Now, that is a great trick. It's really kind of funny, but it works wonderfully. As you're brushing your teeth, you're praying a prayer. And that lifts up your mind and heart to God. And then you can close your eyes and bow your head and just for 10 seconds, love your God. Some of the monks call this the cell of your heart, the chapel of your heart. So you leave the world behind and you flee into that secret room where Jesus is waiting for you in your heart. And you just love Him. If it takes longer than 30 seconds, it's extra. So I don't even want to burden you with thinking I've got to pray for hours. Of course you do, but you won't. So let's put instead the burden on. You can pray for 30 seconds, and that you should do.
Thank you, Father Nathan. And you as a man share that, and the monks who are masters of prayer. And for me as a woman, I feel like it would come naturally. But I wonder, is it as natural for men? I have a friend who was on a bus when men and women were praying the rosary, and she's not Catholic. And she said, I looked around and the women were into it. They were praying and focused, and the men were barely even saying the words. Is there a different personality, or is it a discipline that it doesn't matter? It's no different for gender that we all just need to practice more of.
Oh, absolutely. It's different for gender. I think that's beautiful. I wonder if a man praying the rosary would have looked around and seen if everyone was praying or not. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a very typical type of thing. We definitely have to say, depending on our gender. So if there are men listening to this, you do that, of course, in your way. But everyone has his heart or her heart that lifts itself up to God in their way. And I think we should really kind of like avoid trying to judge one another based on the outside, especially when it comes to gender, because a lot of times the reason why men don't participate in prayer in common is quite simply because they don't feel like they fit in. And the ladies, you expect us to pray in your way. Like, if we're not moving our lips, we're not saying the rosary. Well, I mean, no, that's not exactly true. Or if we don't clasp our rosary close to our heart, it's not special to us. That's not exactly true. There's a different approach, and we have to accept that since we're not the same gender, we're going to pray in a little bit of a different way. And maybe instead, what maybe a good thing to do for somebody, let's suppose you're curious, well, is my husband really praying? Why don't you talk to him about it and ask him about his faith humbly and what it means for him to pray? You're going to find an incredible depth there. It just expresses itself differently.
Thank you, Father Nathan.
Sing it up, death. Where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand at the light. Our God is not dead. He's alive. He's alive. Christ is risen from the dead.
Well, that's what it's all about this week. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI said this: faith in the resurrection of Jesus says that there is a future for every human being. The cry for unending life, which is part of the person, is indeed answered. God exists. That is the real message of Easter. Anyone who even begins to grasp what this means also knows what it means to be redeemed. So here we are. Once again, we're entering into the sacred triduum, the anticipation of another Easter, preparing for the passion, the death, and then the final victory, the glorious resurrection of Christ. And if you're a parent and you're kind of searching for ways to really punctuate that reality in the hearts of your children, or for us too, for that matter, my hope is some of the things that I share with you here to get you ready for that will be a blessing, that you are able to enter into the love of the Lamb, held by His love, sanctified by His sacrifice, as you walk these final hours of Holy Week, and then, of course, rise to new life with Him on Resurrection Sunday. So here's a couple things that I wanted to lay out. I wrote them down that I pray are going to aid you in the journey. So first of all, Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, that is the washing of the feet. One scripture that you can put on your chalkboard or your post-it note when you wake up is John 12:1-17. Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." On our way to school this morning, I was talking about that with my kids and how Christ put the apron over, you know, his waist, and he, the true God and true man, light of the world, kneeled and washed the feet of his disciples. And so we should never feel that we're too good or we're above anything, that we are to serve others as Christ served. Many families in their homes have started the tradition of washing each other's feet. It sounds weird, and it definitely is a thing that is jolting for kids that aren't used to that. But, you know, over the years, they've gotten accustomed to it, and I think it's a beautiful thing. And I've also seen it done at weddings, which I love, where the bride will wash her husband's feet, he will wash her feet. And I happen to think that's a beautiful custom as well. When you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Catholics realize this is the institution of the Eucharist. That's an important discourse right there. And it's a beautiful opportunity to pray the Anima Christi. It is my favorite personal prayer, honestly, after receiving communion. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Body of Christ, save me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. And it goes on from there. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. I love there's a line in there. It says, from the malignant enemy, defend me. And isn't that the devil, the malignant enemy? He keeps on coming back. He won't go away, but defend me. And so that's a beautiful prayer that we can share in our families. And think about also, before we go to service, I believe, now I didn't double check this, but Holy Thursday and Good Friday, these services are not holy days of obligation, but certainly the more you enter into it, I believe the more you'll get out of it. One family menu idea for Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, is a Seder meal. That's a Jewish Passover meal. And what I'm going to do is on the Facebook page for Good Things Radio, I'm going to post the Maria von Trapp's unleavened bread recipe. Because if even that's all you have, I think that it can be a powerful, as you break bread, demonstration with your family. So I'll post that. And this is what Maria von Trapp, Sound of Music, that's what she made for her family. And I just love that. So we'll post that on the Facebook page. Then the darkness. Judas betrays Jesus. And I have a poem that I want to read. I recognize that it's a little bit long, but it's difficult to find. The author's unknown. And one year, many, many moons ago, I read it on the morning show on The Fish, and it was so haunting, and people responded, and I haven't read it since. So I want to share it with you now. It's very powerful, and it's called Two Mothers. Long time ago, so I have been told, two angels once met on streets paved with gold. By the stars in your crown, said the one to the other, I see that on earth you too were a mother. And by the blue-tinted halo you wear, you too have known sorrow and deepest despair. Ah, yes, she replied, I once had a son, a sweet little lad full of laughter and fun. But tell of your child, oh, I know he was blessed, from the moment I first held him close to my breast, and that heart almost burst with the joy of that day. Ah, yes, said the other, I felt the same way. The former continued, the first steps he took, so eager and breathless, the sweet startled look, which came over his face, he trusted me so. Ah, yes, said the mother, how well do I know. But soon he had grown to a tall, handsome boy, so stalwart and kind. And it gave me such joy to have him just walk down the street by my side. Ah, yes, said the mother, I felt the same pride. How often I shielded and spared him from pain. And when he for others was so cruelly slain, when they crucified him and they spat in his face, how gladly I would have hung there in his place. A moment of silence. Oh, then you are she, the mother of Christ. And she fell on one knee. But the Blessed One raised her up, drawing her near, and kissed from the cheek of the woman a tear. Tell me the name of the son you love so, that I may share with your grief and your woe. She lifted her eyes, looking straight at the other. He was Judas Iscariot. I am his mother. Boy, that's very powerful. So, something to think about. And then Good Friday. Oh, hail the cross, our only hope. Of course, then we enter into Easter Sunday. Very early on Easter morning, the women went to the tomb carrying the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance to the tomb, so they went in. But they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood there puzzled instead about the empty tomb. When suddenly two men in bright shining clothes stood by them. Full of fear, the women bowed down to the ground as the men said to them, Why are you looking among the dead for the one who is alive? He is not here. He has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life. That is Luke 24, 1 through 12. And finally, a poem from Saint Hippolytus. I know I didn't say that right. It's a saint, and he lived from 190 to 236, so I guess about the 3rd century. But he said, Christ is risen, the world below lies desolate. Christ is risen, the spirits of evil are fallen. Christ is risen, the angels of God are rejoicing. Christ is risen, the tombs of the dead are empty. Christ is risen indeed from the dead, the first of the sleepers. Glory and power are his forever and ever. Amen. So with those thoughts, I just wish you a blessed and wonderful Easter holiday. In our house, this will be the first Easter in our new home since we moved last year. We colored eggs, and there is a great website. It's called CatholicCuisine.com, and it's really good for any faith tradition because it's all recipes that go along with the liturgical season. So that's kind of my go-to this week, because every day there's a certain suggestion for what you could have for dinner. So that's what I'm going to do. And she does such a fantastic job of laying out a beautiful Easter spread from the punch. I remember making her white punch. I love punch, a big punch bowl for some reason, I don't know. And also the ham, the glaze, everything so wonderfully laid out with pictures. And it's inspiring because if you, like me, are kind of in a food funk right now, this kind of gives you eye candy where it's like, wow, I can bless my family by just putting this presentation out for Easter Sunday. So there you go. There are just a few tips. I pray that you have a most glorious Easter Sunday and that you feel the light of the world in your heart this Easter. As always, you can become a Podbean patron. Become a good friend of the show. It helps us grow and go forward. I want to thank my Podbean patrons. Because of you, I was just able to get a new mixer, which basically allows me to interview people with more than one microphone. I have another mic, but I needed a mixer. It's a long story. It's technical, but I thank you. Because of you, I'm able to do that now and continue to bring you guests like Father Nathan Cromley, like my mom, and like Lisa Hendy, so many lovely ladies that have wonderful wisdom and insight. So thank you so much. If you want to sign up and help me out and help the program out, help the ministry out, you can do that by going to podbean.com. I have the app. You can download the show that way and get all the new episodes. Go to the crowdfunding page. Become a good friend that way. You will receive daily prayers from our family to yours, as well as an opportunity to continue to support the show in a way that will help it go forward. And you can donate. There's no minimum and there's no maximum. Just search up Good Things Radio to find us. Also, feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out and share your input and thoughts about the show. Thank you to every single listener who reached out and shared their feedback about the running and worship program. So grateful for your words of wisdom also. And to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. He wears many hats, so to find out more, you can reach him at cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you and happy Easter, my friends. He is risen.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, His glory revealed. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. And buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glory. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree. Took the nails for me. He's living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. And buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious. Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified.